The Why Me Project, an exclusive presentation of Faith Strong Today.
What I love each and every week, Holly, is that we're given an opportunity to talk with different people, different walks of life, different places in which they grew up, and different stories.
Yes, and we've been able to dive into all kinds of stories. If you don't believe me, check our podcast, scroll down. Yeah, there's a lot. And what blows me away is how every story we've had, and there's been over 300 now, they're all different in some capacity, similar situations, but how God has chosen to use the individual or just how they reacted to situations, all different.
People who work for companies, people who are self-employed, people who work for not-for-profit organizations. And that's kind of where we are for today and our very special guest. So he's an advocate. He's a speaker, probably among other things. I'm actually really excited to hear. You kind of get the Coles notes of someone's life. But Eric Ojabile, my friend, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We're good.
Thank you for the invite.
Thank you for saying yes. We say this all the time, it's always so exciting when somebody wants to hang out with us. So thank you.
It's always a humbling moment getting invited to share such great sharing about my life story. I hope as we do this, it kind of changes someone's life as well, impacts on someone's life altogether.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. I think probably the best place to start, my friend, is from the beginning. And so we like to ask that skill testing question because we never know where it's going to go. And that is, Eric, who are you and where did you come from?
Thank you. So my name is Eric Kaya Ojabile. I am from Uganda, I'm born and raised in Uganda. And I grew up in a family of 8 children, 4 boys, 4 girls. However, at the age of 8, that's when I lost my father. My father passed away, and my father was the breadwinner of the family. And so, aside from my mother's tailoring skills, we had lost a formal income to provide for me and my other siblings. Suddenly, that's when poverty was part of my story with grief and insecurity.
So being in Uganda, only having your mom's income, what does that look like, you know, culturally or as a society? We know what that looks like here. There's lots of support. There's government support. But growing up, what was that like?
So definitely that meant whatever she was able to earn, that's what we would feed on. So if she didn't get anything, that meant we weren't going to have anything. Hmm. And the way that interpreted was basically, if she didn't earn anything, we were used to having like a day with no meal. We weren't assured of like 3 meals.
Yeah.
The starter, you know, the way you guys do it here. We weren't assured of that. We knew that there is no food. And somehow, just imagine getting used to that. There is a how our mind was trained to that.
Yeah.
So it was so hard. We based on what she earned. If she didn't earn anything, we didn't have any extra. We don't have food banks. There is no way you would go to get extra food, right?
Yeah.
So you would basically feed on what she has brought home. If she didn't bring anything, you had nothing.
Yeah.
What about family? Could you not have family that were there to help? I mean, there's a lot of kids, but aunts or uncles or anybody that could help you out?
So it was such a sad moment that actually the uncles who would have been there to help, they instead took away what we had.
Oh.
So we were barely left with nothing. That's why my brother, the second child, literally had to drop out of school to start working to supplement on what my mom was earning.
What number child are you?
So I'm the 7th child.
Okay. So you would have been so little when all this happened.
I was 8 years when my dad passed away. So.
Oh, man.
As somebody who, I mean, I'm still fortunate to have my father, but how does that impact you as an 8-year-old losing your dad and then having all, you know, brothers and stuff stepping up to try to help out where they can?
Definitely affected me in all aspects, all spheres of life. I would talk start with probably the cultural element. Where I come from, we are so culture is a strong element of someone's growing up. So that meant that my dad dying, I never had an opportunity to be exposed to my real culture because I never knew even like most of the values, the things they valued in life, the language itself. So we have different languages. So the fa my father's language, the fa I mean the language that my father spoke, I wasn't even like well conversant by the time he passed on, right? So we never even had an opportunity to go back to the village, the ancestral home, to see how everything was done. So that was taken away. And then socially, even like, so we had to move from one place to another. So we had to start up a new, like we had to settle in a new village, new community, new social, norms around. Financially, of course, I was totally like left with nothing, literally, because the time he died, we literally had to leave the house we're living in and went in and started living in a one-roomed muddy house. So, and we would struggle for a day, like what to eat. So having a meal a day, you would thank God for the meal. And then health-wise, still we never had access to even medical help. You'll get to like when I get to share about the impact of compassion, that's when you would see like we would basically use the tomato leaves. We would get those leaves and then squeeze them. The juice that would come out, that's what you would use as a medicine to help you like cure the infection, ear infection. But sometimes the way we did it, it would even be like you're having dirty hands, your brother is helping you with dirty hands, it's not safe, it's not healthy. But because you believe that that's what would cure you, so we would use such things. And then spiritually, honestly, that's the moment I felt and believed that there was no God, because the God who cares, the God who lives, why would he let little children like go through such situations in life? So it literally affected me in all my aspects of life.
Did you have a faith? Did you know about God and that growing up before your dad had passed?
So at the time my dad died, so we I used to be a Catholic. I used to go like to a Catholic church, but we never used to have an opportunity like to read the Bible to back then. You would just go to a mass and then you would see everything was passive. Like you would just see everything like passively done. And so I knew there was God, but I never knew who this God was at the time.
So, at what point then was there that shift from, I'm going to say, feeling hopeless, maybe wondering what does the future hold for me, to having hope that maybe your life could turn out differently?
So yeah, it all changed when I got registered with Compassion. Because remember, before Compassion, I never believed in actually my self-worth, my self-esteem alone. I never believed in anything positive. All of us, we never thought that there is anything good, because we thought we just meant to be in that situation. That's what, you know what, we were created for that, and that's what we need to face. We need to go through that. And we started actually embracing the moment, because when all you see is just lack, and there is no hope, you're just living a life for a day, And then we would see the children who never went to school, how they ended up. Like we knew that definitely we're going to be more like that. And that's what I feel like poverty, that's what poverty was speaking to me at the time. That's what it, but the time I joined Compassion when I was 10, when I joined Compassion, that's when it all changed. There was this, it was just this vibrant hope, this big ray of hope, like just brought right in. The way I view it, honestly, is more like, a river that has run dry, completely dry, and then suddenly the rains start and this takes off. That's how it felt like, because compassion came in and it affected all my aspects of life. Like from the time even like I got called and I was told, you know what? You finally got a sponsor. I so much remember asking questions about who the sponsor is and what the sponsor is going to do and what's going to happen. So when they explained to me, that's a very emotional moment every time I remember that moment. Like when I got the sponsor telling me, you know what, you're going to be taken care of. And it changed everything for me. I knew now that from the time I joined Compassion. So you remember the juice from the tomato leaves I told you about?
Yeah.
Now, this was something that I don't know how to say this, but you know, this time round, it wasn't about using the juice, but I was told to go to a doctor. And here is a professional doctor now taking full care of you, doing a health, and we would have this health screening where they would check you from head to toe. So I felt like that was so abundant. Like it was more than you would expect from someone just giving you know, care. But, and we would go every now and then to be checked. I never had to get the juice in my ears again. But I had this time round, he would use, you know, the right tools to help me out. And then education. I was able to have, like when I started going to school, I gained this hope. Like, you know what? I started visualizing myself as someone. I started, you know, I knew it that when I go to school, I can now become a social worker. I can become a person of influence. So, and I eventually, you know, through the continuous support with Compassion, I was able to eventually graduate with a bachelor's degree in social work. So, and then the other gift was the gift of salvation. You know what? That's my core of all. If there is any gift, I would always talk about what Compassion did for me, the gift of salvation. This is something I received that nobody could ever take away from me. I received it, and that's when I started believing, you know what? If I received God, what does the Bible say? And that's when Compassion gave me up. Actually, I received salvation during the youth camp organized by Compassion back home. So I started gaining knowledge, reading the Bible. I started going for teens missions where I was equipped with the word. I realized how much powerful I was, my potential being created in his image, right? Knowing that, you know, scriptures like Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who started a good work in you will accomplish it to the very end. You know, I started really realizing that, you know what, I was so power like made for an impact. In fact, there is a scripture that I just used, we used to talk about. It was more of you being like created in this image and knowing what you're created for. We are more than what we think we are. We are more than conquerors. And so such insights really gave me a belief that, you know what, I'm meant for something bigger than what I think I am. And then finally, there was this strong, a strong restoration of hope. You know, the hope that had diminished, that was compassion replaced those moments with a hope. I started hoping, I started living, I started believing. I believed, you know, that, and then that's when I looked back and I look at scriptures like Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So, compassion definitely changed my story, I should say, for that, from that.
There's a lot of really great not-for-profit organizations that do great things locally, nationally, internationally. One thing with Compassion is that you're able to receive letters, you're able to have somebody who sponsors you, and you can communicate. Did you have do you know who your sponsor was? Did you have an opportunity to have a relationship with the person who had sponsored you?
Apparently, when you join Compassion, when I joined, I got an introduction letter, and then they told me about my sponsor, her name, where she's from. So I always looked forward like to my sponsor. I always used to write letters. However, I never had any letter from my sponsor during that time until I was finishing university. And the first letter I got from my sponsor, she wrote to me apologizing, saying so sorry for not writing to me. She was so sorry, yeah. And she gave me her reasons, which I validated and said, you know what? You've done so much more than however much. So my sister used to be like, she had a sponsor, but she always had letters. She always received letters. Like every time we would go like to the center day, compassion center day, they would call students who've gotten letters. And my sister was so sure of a letter, like she knew that she would receive a letter, but I never got a letter. However, what my sponsor did was something way out of the norm. So when the first letter she wrote to me, it was the first letter she was letting me know about her coming to visit me. So she literally came down and visited me when I just finished my last exam, from university. And that wasn't enough. She went ahead and visited me way after I'd finished graduated from Compassion, and I was working at a local agency as a project manager. And then she came and visited again the second time. So I feel like she blessed me, and that's what God does sometimes. When you're going through that moment, you kind of ask yourself questions, but probably he's preparing something even way better and bigger.
Wait,
So
but
she came.
did you say to your sister, haha, mine came to visit me, yours just wrote you letters?
Exactly. Exactly. That's
You were
it.
so good with your letters.
I told her it's 1-0. I got you here.
Not to make this about us or anything, Eric, but both Holly and I have had an opportunity to meet some of the ones that we've had a chance to sponsor as well. So it's kind of cool that you got to meet your sponsor as well.
It was such a blessing. It was something so beautiful. I remember actually her, like the second time when she went back and when she came and visited, she went back and posted on her Facebook page telling how she met with me that afternoon. And I was saying that how, like, I was 28 at the time when she visited, and she was saying it's so good. It was so good to meet again. And the last time it was 2008, and she was encouraging people that for those sponsoring children, it's worth every penny. It really does change their lives. So when I went on her Facebook and I saw that, absolutely, I totally agree with what she said. It totally changed my story.
So you go from Uganda. Where do you live now?
So now I live in Ottawa.
So how did you go from Uganda to Canada? Because that one always throws Holly and I off. It's like,
I
you could
know.
have went
Anywhere. Did you bring a
Disneyland.
parka?
You could have went to, but you chose Canada. Why Canada?
In the first place, honestly, I never wanted to leave like my country before. I really wanted to stay back because I felt at the time I thought that's where God wanted me to do, the work to impact, like give back to my community. So I used to work with an agency back in Uganda. I was a social worker on this in the, with this agency, and I was in charge of over 1,000 children. So at the time, the agency I worked with, it used to host volunteers, international volunteers who would come like for 3 months, and then they go 3 months like that. So they presently known my wife. So she came as a volunteer to that agency to volunteer. So when she came for the 3 months, we met. And then we kind of had a connection right there and then. So we started, she was supposed to stay there for 3 months. She went, prolonged it to 6 months, then 1 year. And that's how things eventually happened. So and before actually, I really wanted to be sure that she's the one. I prayed, I'm like, God, I'm choosing to let go of the single life you're opening up a door for me. I prayed until God proved to me that she was the one. So I went ahead and proposed to her, and then yeah, we got married in Uganda, and yeah, we started a life in Uganda. We were so comfortable. We actually, before I proposed to her, I asked her if she was willing to stay in Africa for the rest of her life. So when she assured me that yes, she's ready, that's when I went the next day actually and proposed to her. So that being said, that so she when we got married, she got pregnant. In the process, she went and hurt her back when she was pregnant. So when she hurt her back, the gynecologist advised us if coming to Canada, it will be safer for her and the child than back home. Like the chances of having them both like safe and sound way higher over here than. So that's how like we came, we ended up coming here. So yeah. So when she gave birth, honestly, I was looking forward to going back.
Yeah, you're looking for flights.
But of course, that wasn't visibly like wasn't going to work more so with the baby. And I remember the year we came, 2017, the winter was somehow brutal, like a little bit. So,
You're like, please, the baby travels free. Let's go back to Uganda.
exactly, no pay for the baby, so the baby is so free. But yeah, so that's how I ended up staying here. That's how we came to Canada and to this very day.
Have you
It
had a
was
chance to
true.
go back at all?
Oh yes, I went back. I went back when my brother died. My second, my the second born, the second child. When yeah, he died, I went back for the burial. That was in 2019, and then in 2021, yes, my mother passed on as well. So I didn't. I just wanted to change the narrative. I didn't want to keep going only if someone has died. It was so painful, but I wanted to remain with the beautiful memories I had with my mom. I chose not to go because I thought I would, there is no way I would be able to really put myself together, just knowing that. Because I was chatting with her every now and then, every time. We would chat, we would talk, we would laugh, and remind ourselves and of everything. So we had really a very good, strong relationship. And so I never imagined seeing her in the situation she was in, like dying. Like,
Oh, sorry to hear about that. That's the death of a parent is a very, very challenging thing to navigate. When you were younger and you're now in compassion, and clearly it impacted your entire family in a different kind of way. Can you explain to us a little bit about how it did impact maybe like your mom and your siblings, knowing that there was hope?
yeah, one of the things my mom, just even like before she passed, just towards the during the time, one of the things she told all of us, like all the siblings, she literally picked me out and said, "Eric is my son, the only son I can be sure of. When he promises me something, he does it. It's the only son that I know that if I ask him for something, he's going to do it for me." So she trusted me to that extent. She knew that I was there. So literally she believed that I was a source of hope, because I provided any time like she needed something. Then regarding my family, right now I should say for my family, I know this is going on radio, but I would say still, like, I think I'm so much well established, more than all my other siblings. Anything that they really like try to like deal with, and they've maybe like gotten together, try to put their resources together. They know that if they can't accomplish it, they know that I'm going to help them. So they rely on me in that way. But it's not just only the financial element, but I so much want to stress or bring out the spiritual aspect. When it comes to the spiritual aspect, I've been like a strong influence, like in my family, where we've always like, instead of believing or being negatively filtered, I always inspire them with scriptures, with and right now we have a group, a family group where we all chat. We now have like family prayer days where we all meet like on the chat, and then we start praying. We have prayer requests, we have testimonies. You know, the faith and the belief in God is still so strong. We always like, and every time, like, you know, there is a situation, I inspire them. I'm like, you know what? We will overcome this. There was a situation. There are many situations that have happened, but the ones that have been like so much outstanding, like one of my sisters, actually, the one who was in compassion with me, she had a brain tumor. So when she had a brain tumor, and in Uganda, the chances of even like operating that and letting it like, you know, be successful are so slim. But this is what happened. We prayed, and I like so much like took on the onus of like inspiring, like motivating and encouraging them, not financially, but spiritually. Like, you know what? Let's pray, let's believe God. I would share, like, we started sharing scriptures and believing God, and God did just this amazing job the way he did it, like organized the team of like a surgeon with a team of like a team just to do that from Uganda, and where she was supposed to be operated from, something happened, and then she ended up going to another hospital. But the change, we so much believed all together, like happened for a reason. And she had this best team. Not because it wasn't even nothing to do with the money. It was because of God's provision and you know, this the faith we had. We prayed and we asked God to make things work accordingly. And we surely saw things moving, like in a very, very profound way. So it's been more like, I should say, the spiritual aspect. I feel like I've created the most like the impact, like by inspiring them and them believing. And then also there are young ones back home, like my brothers, my sisters' children. So I've been like a source of influence in the sense that, you know what, like encouraging them, yeah, and supporting them if they need like anything to do with like maybe going for even like anything to do with like their spiritual growth. Like I've been fully like invested in supporting them in that area.
It's incredible. I mean, just thinking about your life and all the things that you've been through, can you think of any moments that would have been a why me moment for you?
I so much feel like my moment before I've been for compassion. That was the why me moment before I joined Compassion, because there was this dark cloud that was like, I felt like I was in that situation, and I felt like that's why, because it was one incident after the other, right? So my father dies, and then the wealth is taken. We go to this muddy one room house, and then we can't even attend school because we never could afford, you know, and then health, we couldn't even like, we barely could even afford a meal for the day. Our clothes were all like, it was a situation where you were lacking, you had totally nothing, right? And that's surely, when I look back, I feel like that was the moment, because when I talk about such incidences, they take me back. I feel like I'm just driven back to that moment. And that's when I believe, I asked myself, why me? But ever since I accepted the Lord Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior, there's no why me anymore. Like, 'cause I know the plans He has for me, like He says in Jeremiah 29:11. And so I strongly believe that, you know what, all that happened for a reason. It happened because He had good plans for me, for sure. And honestly, my why means I think we're accomplished, because right now I know that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Like, if you have like Jesus in your life, like, you have what it takes. We are so much blessed with that, but we sometimes as Christians take that for granted. We do not recognize the power in us, the power that we are, that we've been given, like what we need. He's always told us in Matthew 7:7, ask, seek, knock at the door. Like, all these things are here, like, for us. You know, in Hebrews, when we see about faith, that, you know, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. But he that believes in Him must believe that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So for such things, I strongly, like, look back, and I know that He had a purpose. He had a reason when I was in that moment. Why me?
You know, Compassion is celebrating a very big anniversary this year, the big 6-0, which is incredible. They've had 60 years just being in all kinds of communities and supporting the next generation. So, for you personally, what would you say the impact for Compassion has been?
So definitely, if I'm to say, I honestly believe, strongly believe, compassion changed my story. Compassion changed my life, and my life is now worth living. It replaced all the hopelessness, all the, you know, the low self-esteem, all the unworthy that I thought of. It replaced it with hope. Like, it gave me this big ray of hope in life, and strongly believe that.
Yes. Amazing. Thank you so much, Eric. And my takeaway is if you can't send letters, just show up.
Time for you to step up.
Yes.
Thank
Oh, Eric, thank you so much. This has been great.
you so much, Holly. Thank you, Johnny. I really appreciate it. Thank you for the good work you're doing. I strongly believe that you guys are also acting as strong voices for these children.
Thank you.
Just imagine there is a child right now, like right somewhere, he can't or she can't, like, you know, have such an opportunity to speak, like, to everyone. And we are doing that job for them. Like, if I was transformed, if my life was changed, and I feel, and I believe that right now, the way I am, thousands of children out there have an opportunity to really experience this. Do I have a minute to share something? Or oh, okay. So I just see always, like, I always it this my compassion story reminds me so much of King David. King David was when you look at 1 Samuel chapter 16 from verse 1 to 12, but I'll so much concentrate on eventually, like, on 10 and to the end. You see how Prophet Samuel came to Jesse's house, and he had God had told him that in Jesse's house there is a prophet. I mean, there is a king in Jesse's house. And then when he came and asked Jesse to bring his children to anoint the king, so Jesse looked for this mighty, tall, well-built son first. He's like, come on, here's the king. He looks like a king. Get him. And Prophet Samuel tells him, you know what? No, he's not. Gets the second child, the third child, no, the fourth, the fifth, no, the sixth, the seventh, no. And then asks him, is there anyone else? He's like, oh, and then he remembered there is this young boy in the field tending to the sheep. And then tells him, you know what? Bring him. And then when he brings him, what happens? This is what I so much relate my story of what compassion does, releasing children out of poverty. David was trapped in a field. And David, that's where he was seen. He was seen as a child or a boy who just only is in the field. That's his job. That's what he does. And that's where he stays. He wasn't seen or recognized as a king anywhere. You know, even Jesse himself, when he was told to bring, David was the least of all he would think of. And that's how these children are. Like, no one thinks of them when they're in that situation as being, you know, the future leaders, the people who are going to cause an influence, an impact on this planet Earth. No one thinks of them in that situation. It's agencies like Compassion that have stepped up, and they see them in their full potential, the potential that God created them in. They were created to be more than who they are. But you know, that's how the community, that's how the world sees them until they step up. I so much believe at one time I was a David until a moment happened, until Dorothy went and picked a profile of Eric. And that's how it is. And God has plans and purposes for these children. He will make them succeed. He will speak to those like you. And I'm sure there are people, for those who are hesitant, who are not sure of like sponsoring a child with compassion, this may be what kind of, there is this, I don't know how to say it. It was a church service we went to, Compassion Church service we went to. And so they came to the table, and the mother was with a 5-year-old girl. So when they reached the table, the mother told was telling whoever was attending, like the Compassion volunteer at that table. The mother told the volunteer, "You know what? We already have a child we're sponsoring. We would love to, but we already have one, and that's it." But this is how amazing God does these things. So this little girl leaves the mother on the extreme side, on the other side of the table, and goes on this other side of the table and picks up a profile, a compassion with a compassion child. And then the girl, this child insists on getting, opens the profile and gets a pen and starts writing in, was trying to fill in like the details, not knowing what exactly she's feeling, but she wanted the child and she knew how to get to this child. So the mother comes and tells the girl, "What are you doing?" And the girl insists, "I want this child. I want this child." Eventually, the mother accepts. It's like, "You know what? You want that child? We already have a child. If you want us to have another child, we're going to take the second child on." Tell me, who can stop God's plans for our lives? So the child he picked, that's how God had already planned for that child. For those who feel hesitant, if God is really speaking to you, like, sponsor a child, please.
There are a lot of people who say it's just money that I'm giving, or there's a lot of people who are saying it's just a letter. But you have proven today, Eric, that it is it's more than that. There's a real person who's receiving love from across the world. Wherever you are, Canada to Uganda to Australia to wherever, compassion.ca. If you are wanting more information, Eric, appreciate you taking some time today and sharing your heart.
Thank you so much, Johnny. Thank you so much, Holly. I really appreciate this opportunity.
No matter how many times you hear a story from somebody and a different perspective of a story through like a compassion or wherever, it's still amazing to see the impact that we would be able to have.
Having sponsored a couple of children in my day and just getting those letters and hearing from them and just to see how important that relationship is, it's pretty incredible.
You're thinking, oh, it's just money. Like I said before, oh, it's just a letter. No. The impact on what you have with different organizations, whether it be a Compassion or wherever else. No, there's actual serious people on the other end of that that are reaping the benefits of your finances and your prayer.
And your generosity and willingness just to say yes. I'm so grateful for Eric today and sharing his story.
Amazing.
It's just wild because we take a look at our current society and we see so many families so close to being homeless, so close to having all of these food insecurities, and that was his family story. They were fine. The dad dies, and they found themselves in a situation that you would never wish upon any family.
And what also got me was, oh, we were excited for one meal a day.
Yeah.
We're here, we're like, oh, we didn't get 5 meals and 7 Starbucks.
Yeah, I didn't get chocolate ice cream for supper. That's me, actually. That's like real things Holly has said. Vanilla? Ew.
Yeah, but no, it's amazing to hear his story. Thank you to everybody who tunes in, continues to tune in. By the way, we've been getting your lists of people to reach out and talk to. We have reached out to a number of them. Still waiting on replies. So please, everybody, check your inboxes because
Yes,
Holly and
please.
I are knocking at that door.
We are, and we are looking forward to hearing more stories, maybe even your story,
Yeah.
and continue to share the ones that are impactful to you. We hope and we pray that the stories of our incredible guests will encourage you in your faith journey.
YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Love to hear from you. And don't forget, faithstrongtoday.com. Go!